Hey guys, Adam Splendid Sports here, joined by Dylan of Double D Vintage Baseball Cards. We are back. Turn back the clock, episode number 9. Wow, episode 9 already. Wow. That's cool.
That's big time.
Yeah, man. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm excited. I always look forward to talking to you and doing these. And it's really funny because I never thought I'd be so comfortable. And me and you, like, I feel like it fits so perfectly. I really genuinely just look forward to these, to hang out with you, and then to get it, you know, talk about the hobby for a little bit and share some things and some insights. I look forward to it. So it's been really fun. And that's crazy. 9 episodes. I never thought we'd even get that far. I don't see this ending anytime soon, or, you know, I love it.
I love it too, man. Double digits in 2 weeks on your channel, number 10. That'll be cool. And you know what's nice is, like, we have really gotten good at putting in very little preparation for these. I mean, we literally popped on like 3 minutes ago. Was like, hey, let's talk about this. You're like, good. Grabbed a few cards and we're off and running here. So that's what I like, man. I like winging things.
Oh, dude, I used to wing it all the time. High school, elementary. I never studied for anything. I never studied for a single test. So I just go up and just wing it and just, like, make stuff up, and I made it through. So,
hey, by the way, did I hear an eBay sound on your phone there?
Yeah, you did. I'm trying to win a Roger Maris. So no one's going to be watching this live. So
nice. All right, guys. Well, here's a quick rundown of what we're going to do. We're going to do like 3 little mini segments here for probably about 30 minutes. And the first one, we're going to look at pickups like we generally do on this show. We got some pickups to show. I got some really nice ones. Then we're going to do a VR, a group VR. Me and you, we're going to do a VR for 4 channels. And we'll talk about that further. But we're going to show some awesome cards of a player we both collect, a vintage player. The greatest hitter that ever lived. That's a hint. And then we're going to... A little segment we're going to do maybe for 5-10 minutes at the end that I'm calling Going the Distance on YouTube. And basically what we're going to talk about is our channels, how we view our channels now, what our plan is for the channel long-term, goals and so forth. And yeah, wherever that goes for a few minutes. So before we get into the pickups, though, I have something that I wanted to throw out there to you and also anyone who watches this in the comments. So I've been doing a little organizing. I'm not as organized as I want to be with my card collection. And I was going through an old box and I found 4 cards that let me pull up. Well, I'll show them first. These are actually 1989. Let me go solo screen here. These are 1989. It's a set of 4 cards put out by the United States Postal Service. We got Babe Ruth. These are all artists, I guess, you know, art drawings that were made. Lou Gehrig. So far they've been picking some pretty good players. Then we have Jackie Robinson. And then we have Clemente. Look at that.
Dude, that Jackie one's sick. That's my favorite. The Jackie one's my favorite one.
Look at this thing. He's
first glance.
Stealing home. The backs are pretty, you know, pretty cool there with some color. Oh, yeah. But anyway, I was looking at this and I couldn't remember. Like, I had these when I was a kid and I still had them in a box. And I was like, what were these? I don't even remember getting them or anything. And so I just did a little search and I pulled up on Beckett. Basically what they are is set description. You know, they're not like expensive cards. Of course they're made in 89. So they're not like big money cards, but they're just like, I think they're cool. And basically it says 89 USPS Legends stamp cards set includes 4 cards. And on the fronts, the card depict 4 baseball-related stamp designs, which featured actual players. We saw the 4 players. And basically, they were sold by the U.S. Postal Service as a set kit for $7.95, along with the actual stamps, an attractive booklet, and other materials. And I actually do – I don't have them here with me, but underneath some more things that I haven't gone through yet, I think I do have that the booklet and the stamps that came with it. But I pulled out the cards. And the first printing of the set was sold out, very popular, I guess. And so a second printing was made. The first printing did not have the USPS copyright logo, which I looked at mine. So I guess I must have first printing. So they're big money, first printing. And all the stamps are drawings. For example, the Gehrig stamp was painted by noted sports artist Bart Forbes. All the stamps except Gehrig, 25 cents, are 20 cent stamps. So did you ever have those, or have you seen those before?
Never seen them, never had them, but those are pretty cool. I like seeing new cards. Those are pretty awesome.
Yeah, man.
I've never come across those. And I sell, you know, thousands and thousands of cards on eBay, common cards, and bought mega lots and over, you know, the 20 years I've been doing it. And I've never come across a single one of those. So that tells you something right there. And I've pretty much seen every Mickey Mantle card. And I mean, there's no Mickey Mantle there, but like all the Babe Ruths and everything. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. So, hey, guys, anyone in the comments, if you have those or you've seen those before, leave a comment. I know there's some on eBay. Like, if you pull it up on eBay, there's no shortage of them. They're out there. But, I just kind of came across them. And it's amazing what you find that you forget you even had, you know, in some of the boxes, man. All right. So, let's get into pickups. Would you like to go first with pickups?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Dude, so, you know, last time we were on here, I probably had a little more modern. I have been having a really hard time finding vintage cards. I'm looking down at my eBay because there's one centered Maris. I'm looking at it, oh man, that's sick. But somehow the last, you know, 3 weeks or so, I found a few more. I got four. And shout out to, because he's been giving me shout outs too, but this worked out perfect. Wade Boggs, John, Wade Boggs fan. He just did an episode about PSA 4s and how they're just kind of the sweet spot. And that, I'm still not hunting PSA 4s. I'm not hunting any grade at all. Like, I still pick up 7s. I still pick up 8s. But for some reason, the 4s, and I've talked to Shane Shoebox Legends about this, some reason the 4s, you can get these incredible looking ones, whether there's like a wrinkle that you can't even see maybe on the back, or just something that makes it not a 7 or an 8. So I've got some 4s here that kind of just randomly, I picked up some 4s, and I have other grades in here too, but all of them fit perfectly in my collection. And a couple of them are ones that I had sold off as like high grades that I finally got back, and they look better than my higher grades. And they were all, I got 1, 2, 3, 4 cards. And all these cards were less than $130 total. Like, blows my mind. Like, you can get the incredible vintage cards for cheap. So first one is the 1953 Topps Al Rosen. And this is, the reason I have this is because it goes with my MVP series. You guys know I'm working on that. And he was the MVP in 1953. So I need to get the Roy Campanella as well. This was $34 or something like that. Buy it now. I had it on my watch list for over a year now, and one popped up and it looked perfectly centered and really pretty. And I was just like, boom, $34. Buy it now. Yes, please. Thank you. Done. So really stoked to add this. This probably my favorite pickup out of the group. There might be one more that may be equal, but this is probably my favorite one. So
man, really the color on that thing is killer. Killer color on that.
It's insane, right? $34 for that thing, like all day long. Next one, it's not quite as perfectly centered as the picture was terrible. Two of these, the pictures were so bad, but I took a chance. They're like $25, but it still fits. It looks really good. It looks better than the 7 I had. And this is a 1959. I don't know why I found a few 1959s in here. The next three are all 1959s. This is Al Kaline. It's not as perfect centered as I was hoping. But it'll do for the time being, and the image is spectacular. And you know why it's a 4, you know, you could go into it and hunt, you know. I actually just got these in the mail today and yesterday, so perfect timing. Next one
is a nice color match too, with the PSA label there, that red. Oh,
yeah, well, I got 3 in a row like that. Actually, all 4 of these are red. Next one, perfectly centered. This is another $25 purchase, Harmon Killebrew. And just beautiful. Like, how can you go wrong? PSA 4 looks way better than the 7 or 8 that I sold. I mean, like, this is ridiculously nice. The back, so sick. really, really glad. How's that photo? So cool. I haven't even looked at these cards. I literally just pulled them out of the packages 5 minutes before the show. I've been waiting on them for a while. So really glad to add those two. And then the last one, another 59. This one fits so good in my collection. And this is Ernie Banks and two other guys who I don't know who they are yet. And I'm sure I'll get heat for that, but I haven't read the back yet. Like I said, I just pulled this out. This thing is perfectly centered. This is one of those auctions that had no bidders. And I had watched it all week. And I think I got it for $30. And I was like, okay, no one's going to bid. Boom. And I got it. And it's just glorious.
Five. Oh, man, look at that thing.
Right? I love that. I love it too. And I can't wait to read about the two other players on here. I mean, dude, I'm no expert on non Hall of Fame, you know, non, you know, mega stars. That those are my expertise is the big guys. I don't know who Long and Morin is. I don't know, but Ernie Banks is in the middle. That's all I care about. And look at how beautiful that is. So those are my pickups.
Oof.
Just man, random. Yeah.
I don't know who those other guys are either, but that is just an awesome card, man. The colors on that. And I love all those, I don't know what you call them, but you know, the
combo.
Yeah. From that set though, I got what is it, Fence Busters and
this is the Cubs Clubbers.
Cubs Clubbers.
That's I love those. Sick. That's sick.
They're beautiful cards.
Yeah. They
all
are.
Right. Love that. So I got, let's see.
I know a quarter of one of your cards is going to smash mine on value, but I want to see them so bad.
I got some cool ones here. This is actually real quick. I don't want to go too deep into it to keep this on the shorter side. But did you happen to see Dave Blue Jacket 66 video that he did? He did the original video. I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago. But about the set that he did with his dad.
Yeah, I know about the set he did with his dad. I didn't watch one in the last week, but yeah. I watched the video of him discussing that. It blew my mind.
Yeah, I think I missed the original video at the time because I wasn't watching YouTube when he did that originally. But James Elite Hunters did a video where he picked up a mantle that was autographed from the set he did with his dad that Dave did with his dad. And then I went back and watched Dave's original video, and I don't want to I don't want to spoil it, but if you haven't seen that video, go back. It's basically, I think it's called the Bowman, the 1953 Bowman extension set or something like that. I'll put a link to it in this episode. But anyway, when I watched it, I immediately said, I want a couple of those cards because they were on eBay. There's not a ton of them on eBay, but of course I had to, let me put a solo mode here. Of course I had to get this one.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I was surprised they had graded for, I don't remember what I paid, but it wasn't much. And this is a BVG 8, and I don't know if I'll keep it in this slab or whatever, but, this was one of the only mantles on there, but this was made in 1979. So Dave and his dad did this in 1979. Now it's called Baseball Favorites that they, you know, here's the back Baseball Favorites, but, Beckett in true Beckett fashion, I think they labeled it wrong and said Baseball Greats. So
dude, that's spectacular that you found some. I never even thought to look. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I messaged Dave after, and I said, just telling him how awesome that video was and what a great, great story. And he said, I'll send you some. Cause he's got a ton of it, you know?
Oh, wow.
But which would be great if he did, cause it would come from him, but I still went out and bought one.
I'm surprised that they graded one. Cause I thought I didn't know they graded like Broder cards, right? That's what they're calling it called.
I don't know, man. Yeah, he's in, and it's actually a set in like what's that big sports card Bible, the America or whatever, the standard catalog or whatever.
Yeah.
That the set that Dave and his dad did is in that catalog. It's considered it's actually a real set. And
legendary.
So I got the mantle, and the two that I really wanted was the mantle and this one here, Satchel Paige. Look at that.
Oh wow, that's a sick one.
Look at that picture.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Dude, you're a genius. I need to go on eBay after this.
I think there's still some on there on eBay. I don't even know what I paid for this, $10, $20 or something like that. But I just wanted to have, just because I thought they were cool and the story and knowing Dave's channel and everything, I figured I want to have a couple of these in my collection. And so I picked those two guys. And yeah, I just thought that was just awesome, man. So I got those two. Oh, and at the, I guess I'll spoil a little bit, but the end of his video is the most incredible part, where he shows he has the whole set. Him and his dad got the whole set signed by every single player. So he's got, you know, Mantle signed, the Satchel Paige. They went to his, you know, it's just, you guys got to watch it if you haven't seen it. But anyway,
it's awesome that somebody, you know, like that is, we're in contact with a person like that, like Dr. Beckett, and like all these people like are in this YouTube world. And it's just so neat, right?
Yep. It's, I mean, incredible. It was probably the most incredible video I've ever seen on sports card YouTube. When I really think about that story, how he has them all signed by all the legends that were in that. I mean, it's crazy. All right. So the next two, we're going to call them, we're going to say they're Cracker Jacks, Cracker Jack cards. All right. So this is one, man, I've had on my list of my, you know, me with my 1980s Mantle cards. Right. So I ended up picking up, tough to find in a PSA 10. This is the 82 Cracker Jack Mickey Mantle hand cut PSA 10. So won this in an auction on, was it PWCC, I think. And, you know, they're not that much money, but there's only like 10 of these PSA 10s because they're, you know, they came in a big sheet. And they're actually, they made these for, there was like an old timers game that they did back in 82. And they made a sheet with like Bob Feller and Mantle and a lot of these guys. And they distributed it as a sheet. And then obviously the people cut them up. So that's why it's so hard to find it in a, you know, like a 10 because they're hand cut. But yeah, just, I try to get all the cards I remember as a kid on the, you know, in the 80s of Mantle in PSA 10 or 9 if I can. So we got that one finally.
I love it.
And now a real Cracker Jack. So I did a video a while back, and I'm not a pre-war collector. I don't know much about pre-war. I don't want to go down that lane too much, but there are certain sets that I just feel like I want to have one card from. And the 1914 Cracker Jack set is one of those sets. I don't know too much about it other than I know the 1914 are extra special because all of them were actually in the box of Cracker Jacks. So when you bought a box of Cracker Jacks, this card was in the box in 1914 and pulled out. And there you go. Look at all the caramel stains and look at all. That's all. The more stains, the better on this card.
Who's that player? Is he in the Hall of Fame or is he not?
He's not a Hall of Famer. So the card is John Stuffy. His nickname was Stuffy McGinnis. I did a little research on him. The reason I picked him for the set, obviously because I can't afford the Joe Jackson and the Ty Cobb, but he was a Red Sox player, and he grew up in Massachusetts, he began playing baseball in Haverhill, Mass in 1908. And he was part of, you ever heard there was like this $100,000 infield at one point that they had way back? He was part of that. But what I know him best at is 1918, the Red Sox won the World Series for like, you know, the last time in a while. When I was growing up, all I heard as a kid, as a Red Sox fan, from my Yankees fans, friends were, oh, 1918, that's the last time you guys ever won. Well, in 1918, he was a teammate of Babe Ruth on the Red Sox during that World Series. And I think it was maybe Game 7, the winning Game 7, where Babe Ruth pitched a shutout. They won 1-0. Babe Ruth pitched, and Stuffy McGinnis knocked in the only run in the game in that World Series. So he's got a good tie to, you know, some history too.
Dude,
he's a great player. I love that. He's a 300 hitter his career. Real, really good player.
We're twinsies on that. As far as like, I want to get Miller Huggins from that set. That's my goal, because he's tied to Babe Ruth, and their history together. So to me, you know, because he was his manager and they kind of had a little clash, and Miller Huggins, a little guy. I love that you went with that same route, just like a little connection to Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah, because I usually go for, you know, big-time players, that the greats, all-time greats, like you were saying. But in these situations, yeah, I wanted a card from the set, but I wanted something that connected me a little bit. And all that, you know, the tie to Babe Ruth and the tie to the Red Sox, and he's a, you know, a New England guy like me. So he's got a little connection to me on that. So I just, man, these, look at this one more time. Look
it's,
at that thing.
It's, dude, it's that's like the greatest. I mean, that could be the greatest pre-war set of all time. Is that your first one? First pre-war
one,
set? First pre-workout.
Yeah, I got a couple that I haven't shown yet. Nothing big. Just, I'll show them on a future one. But this is the set because I like color cards. I like cards with color on them. I'm not a huge black and white guy, other than a few exceptions. But I just said I got to get one of these from 1914 because in 1915 some of them were in the Cracker Jacks, and then some of them were like a mail-in thing. So that's why you find better condition ones in 1915. But I wanted one. I was like, I want one of a player I can kind of connect to. This was I think I paid under $200 for this. It's a one, but you know, it was what I was looking for. Like, it's nicely
good. Looks killer.
Got all the stains that you want that tell the story of what these cards are about, you know.
Well, now I know. See, I didn't really know that 1914 was the set that came in the boxes. Then I know I'm not getting anything but that.
Yeah,
that's 15, where it's at. I remember a lot of the mini ones,
but you can't guarantee that if 1951 was in the box, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
It's cool because you can collect stained ones, and it's part of this history, just like a lot of the guys collect the oddball stuff, you know, the ones in the hot dogs and the potato chips. And if they're stained, it doesn't matter. It adds to the whole story. As long as the image still looks good, who cares? Get the low grades. That's really what matters.
Yeah, I said, I want to get a one. I want one with a lot of stains on it that tells the story, but some pretty good color. It's got some pretty good color on it. So, boom. This was like the one that was like, that's the one. I got to get that one. So
that's awesome. I'm jealous now.
Yep. All right. So some good pickups. Let's go with our part two here. So what we're going to do there's something going on now. It's called a Brouhaha VR, right? And essentially, it came from four channels that are doing it together. Scott Reindeer Studios, Eddie's Cardboard Chaos, Four Leaf Cards, and Tony Black 574. Those four channels, I guess 2 years ago, they did a group VR celebrating 2 years on YouTube, and they all kind of came on at the same time. And now it's 4 years, 2 years later. So they're doing a four-year VR, which basically they said, you know, get with another YouTuber like we are right here and show some cards that you collect in common. Now, I guess we probably have a couple of the same cards, but what we're going to do here is we're going to show some cards from a player that you and I both love collecting, which is Ted Williams. And so I got a handful of cards here. Let's run through them pretty quick. But you go first with your Ted Williams.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, so I love this VR. I love this idea with it. Super cool. And Tony Black, I've never seen his channel, so I need to subscribe to him. And then I get another guy I can check out his channel, because it's funny. You think you know everyone, but there's just, it's endless. The road is endless for YouTube.
Yep.
And I was going to do this with a group of another guys, but it just wasn't working. It didn't, you know, my timing. So this was perfect. And I'm so stoked to do a VR with you. It like only makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man.
Spread the love around. So Ted Williams, I know we both have this card, the 54. Yep. Show yours up. Bam. What? Oh, here's the six. Love this card. First 54. Card.
Number one.
His first Topps card ever. Correct?
First Topps card ever, right here.
So cool. So awesome. And then I have his second one. I actually have a couple of the orange one because I just love it.
Yeah.
And then I got his yellow one.
Yeah, he had two in the 1954 set. The one in the 250. Yeah. Man, that thing is yellow. Woo,
yeah, so awesome. Yellow.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Yep. And then your least favorite, the one where he's hitting a foul ball.
Yeah. 56.
Love that. Love that card. If you have any of these, toss them up. Got the 1950 Bowman, which I actually like the 51 better, but this one was one that popped up, you know, years back, and I got this one. So I love it. It's Ted Williams. I've got loads of Ted Williams cards. He's my number one guy I collect, as far as I have more of his cards besides Mike Trout now because they're cheaper, but more Ted Williams cards than I have of anyone else's playing day cards as far as vintage goes. And then shout out to Doug Decon. He gave me this card, a spectacular combo card. Ted, the big Ted Clue, and Ted Williams, you know, talking hits, and who knows, just so cool. I'd love to be in a fly on the wall there. And then another one of my favorites, 58. I have a few of these ones. Just a stunning. Why is he has a lot of yellow cards, right?
Right.
They're all yellow. Every card's yellow.
I like it. I like those colors, man.
Yeah, that's super cool. And then I know you collect these, but this is my, I've got two, got an ant right here. This is my favorite. I wanted this one for a long time and I found it over at my buddy's house. He's like almost 70. I talk about all the time, Ernest. And I got this about a month ago. I was hanging out at his house and I bought all these up. He had a whole bunch of them. And I think I paid like $12 each or something. And I got this one.
Yeah.
And I see when I go surfing at a certain spot where I live, there's a giant marlin hanging up in front of this restaurant. It's a real marlin, you know, one of those stuffed ones or whatever you call them, but it's outside. And so this one just rings a bell. And he was a professional fisherman. And this is a world record catch, I believe, at the time for a marlin. So I love this. I love this set, the 59 Fleer, because it tells his story and it has the story on the back of each card. It tells his whole life story. It's not just baseball. And then another one of my favorites in that set, him just weighing, like checking his bats out. Ted Williams was obsessed with his bats.
Yep.
And he used to put them in the oven, weigh them, sand them. Like he was just obsessed with them. So I really love those two. And shout out also, because we're doing a VR for Scott's on their Ranger Studios, I'm in line to get a sketch drawing for like a year now. And
oh, wow.
I gave him like a, you know, I told him, hey, start thinking, because I wanted Ted Williams. He did a Ted Williams robot one time and he had a cryogenic head and a bubble and he had robot arms. It was the coolest one. It's my favorite one he's ever done. And I wanted a Ted Williams one as well. I told him to start thinking about the 59 Fleer because the stories are on there and I wanted him to incorporate that in his doodle. So it works out perfect for the VR. So those are my Ted Williams cards.
Love it.
What do you got for us?
So yeah, I had some of those, but I've been selling some Ted Williams cards, of late over the last 6 months or so, just to free up some money. I had a lot of them and to free up some money so I could put it towards some other players I didn't have cards of. But I kept some of the big ones, obviously. So the biggest one that I got, this is the rookie card, Ted Williams, 39 play ball. I showed this on a couple videos here recently. Yeah, I mean.
That's just speechless.
Yeah.
So speechless.
And, oh, man, because I don't love the black and white cards, but that, again, that's one of those exceptions that I do love that card. But I'm more into cards like this, the 48 leaf, 49 leaf, Ted Williams, just like I think his best looking card from just a visual perspective. Look, colors on this thing and the pose. That's an art card right there.
Love that card. Love it. On my
and
list.
Another, well, I'll do these first. You showed some cards from this set already. The 59 Fleer. Cards are very affordable from this set. 59 Fleer. I love this one because it's got him in that same play ball rookie pose. Card number 14. And outstanding rookie. And we got one here. I like this one too because it says how I hit 400. And this was card number 17 in that 59 Fleer set. And that's my favorite story of Ted Williams is that 400 season. And here's one more about the 400 season. You're familiar with the 61 new card scoops. Great set, a very affordable set. Ted Williams hits 406 for season. And I love the back on this because it basically says, you know, his average was exactly 400 on the last day. He refused to sit out the final doubleheader. He risked his record by choosing to play. In the first game, he got four hits and still refusing to sit out the season. He volunteered to play the second game and went 2 for 3. And it says, no one can say that Ted Williams backed into his title. His season long average was 406. So I just,
yeah, he was bad. Like that was, I was going to spit that fact. That was like a fact I know by heart. Like, it's awesome. Like a lot of guys sit out after they have a certain records and they don't want to tarnish them. Guy was going after it and he just so sick. He was unbelievable.
Like if you think, let's flash forward. I don't know. Let's say just any player playing today. If that same situation happened in this season, let's say on the last day of the season, someone's batting 400, I bet they would sit out. I just feel like things have changed so much now. I mean, I don't know, maybe not every player, but I feel like back then, no one even would think, oh, I'm not sitting out. You know, it was like different. Yeah. The guys were different back then, man.
Totally.
Now I could see them be, oh, well, he's got to preserve his 400 average, you know, sit out.
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but George Brett or somebody sat out to get this one record. And but maybe because it's 406, they might not sit out because they might want to try and beat it. I would hope. I wouldn't want you to sit out, you know, not to say I wouldn't sit out, but
that's no one's going to do it anyway. It's not going to happen. So
no, I don't think so.
All right. So there was our VR. So thanks guys. Congratulations on 4 years on YouTube. That's a lot. I mean, that is saying something. As someone who's been on like a year and a half now or whatever I've been, you've been around right around the same time. I think that's the last part here. I want to talk about for like 5-10 minutes. I call it going the distance on YouTube, because I just wanted to pick your brain on a few things and just kind of converse on, you know, we've been doing this for a year and a half or so now. There's guys who've been on YouTube for like 10 years, you know, or so, and have consistently made videos and always come up with ideas and videos to make. What do you think about like, just everyone's going to be different, right? Because like, it's going to be different to everyone. I think it's important, at least for me, I want to put out videos that people find interesting and people find enjoyable to watch. But I also want to make sure that I'm putting out videos that I enjoy making first and foremost, because I know myself, when I feel like I don't want to ever feel like, oh, I got to put out a video. It's been 3 days and man, I got to put one up. I don't want it to feel like work or a job or like something I have to do. I want it to just to come organically and be like, whenever I feel compelled to get out and say stuff, something, or to talk with someone like you, to get out there and do it. Now, thankfully, I've never felt that way yet, but how do we make sure that we don't feel that way? Like, what are you doing on your channel with your content and the way you're organizing it and doing it to make sure that you can go the distance? And hopefully we can be doing this for 20, 30 years. You know, what do you think on that?
Well, I think you nailed it right on the head. Is do videos that you want to do. And I have, you know, done videos where I was like, oh man, I haven't done a video in so long. Oh, I got to do a video. And then it just didn't feel, I wasn't in the moment, in that right mind space. I wasn't in the card zone at the moment of doing a video. Like there's sometimes I've done a couple of VRs where I'm like, I'm doing them because I want to support the channel, but I wasn't in the mood to sit down and set up my camera and do a video and talk about that actual VR. It just didn't interest me in a way that I really, really hit the spot. So I really am going to try and be true to myself. And I think that it's endless as far as like what people are going to consume and watch, because you just never know. You can throw up all kinds of random stuff and you don't know what's going to take off. I think a huge thing has to do with just the algorithm. That is whatever takes off on YouTube, you know, for the most part, isn't even have to do with like your little card community. It's not our little community that makes our views go up. It's the people who don't comment. It's the people who you don't know who they are, and it whatever gets in their system and they click on it. I think it's out of our control. So I think the main thing you hit there is just do what makes it fun for you. And for me, looking in the future, I'm super excited. Like when I plan on doing this forever. When I'm 50 years old and 60 years old and I'm slowing down with the manual labor, I can't wait to know that I have something to do and a hobby that's going to take me into my old age when I'm 80 years old and I can sit and do a video, whether I'm sitting back or just, you know, whatever it is. Some ideas I have for this coming year. I'm going to be selling cards on YouTube. I'm going to try it anyways, and I'm going to do it differently than everybody else. And I have some big ideas on that, because it's no secret. I want to sell cards for a living. I would love to not do my other job, my other business. I've actually cut that back tremendously over the last year because my wife's business is really booming. But I want to sell baseball cards for a living, but I want to do it for my house. I can't go travel the world. It costs so much to fly from where I live. I can't drive anywhere to go a card show. I have to be able to make a living selling cards at my house. So I'm going to really pump my eBay store, 314-14 sports cards this year. I'm going to really step up to the plate and promote my channel more, and I want my channel to grow. I'm not going to be ashamed of that anymore, and I'm not going to hold myself back. I'm probably going to be doing giveaways, maybe not VR giveaways, more just like comment giveaways, and use some of the funds that I'm making off of YouTube, because now that I'm getting money from YouTube and getting paid like $30 a month is the average right now. If I can grow that and I can give that money back into the pot to grow my channel, and maybe in 5-10 years, I'm making $300 a month and it can fund my hobby, and I can do it as the most enjoyable thing in the world is to be able to fund your own hobby and have a good time with it. So I'm not going to be ashamed of growing my channel anymore. And even like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to hit the subscribe button. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to do what I do and enjoy it, but I'm going to try and grow my channel this year. And I really am going to put myself out there more and more every year. And that's all there is to it. And I really got to stay out of the negativity aspects of things, you know, like the Beckett thing that came out. It really like blew my mind. I thought they blew up the world. I'm like, what happens if PSA changes there? You know, all of a sudden all your fours become threes. Like if you do that, I'm like, if Beckett has the power to change the grades that you currently hold that you've been collecting for 20 years, then what, to me, my mind didn't go just towards Beckett. It went towards the whole industry. Like, does PSA have the power to now do that? That's what really, and I kind of like, you know, I went on there and commented on their thing. And then I had to really sit back and tell myself, just relax, calm down, let the pros deal with this. And let this, I need to focus on what isn't going to make my head spin. And I really got to stay in that lane, because it's really easy to get trapped up in those little things like that. You did it so well talking about doing your survey with Beckett and showing it online. And I instantly went in there and filled it out, and you did it in a respectful way, because we all want Beckett to succeed, right? Like, we all want that. It's the greatest company name that we have in this hobby since we were kids. So the way you approached it was really good. I wanted to get on there and just like, dude, this is the worst thing. I even texted, you know, Hobby News Daily. There's a chat that we're all on. And I was like, is no one else freaked out about this? You know, only one other guy was. And I'm like, this seems crazy to me. This company can just downgrade all of our cards we've collected our whole lives. So I really got to be aware of that and just have as much fun as I can with this and continue to grow. So that's my thoughts, man. It's going to be a fun year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'm with you too. I got to watch myself too. I'm half Italian. So that Italian in me, man, I got to watch those emotions. I get fired up on things. And yeah, I made a couple of videos on Beckett, and you know, I could have been more, you know, I kind of held back a little bit. I wanted to be constructive and stuff, but absolutely. Like, you know, I get passionate about certain things, and I have on this topic of the channel and keeping it sustainable for me and something that's fun and goals. One of the reasons I started doing 3 and 3, and you were the very first 3 and 3. And I like doing these collaborations. I like going, I found that, you know, when I go on by myself, number one, I'm not that good at it. And number two, I don't enjoy it as much, you know, here and there, but like long-term, I don't see myself doing many of the me just popping on there. And like, some people are so good at it. Like, you know, John Mangini.
I love solo videos.
Good at it. You, John Mangini, and there's a million. I could go down the line. You guys are like fantastic at doing it, and I love watching them. But me, I know myself, and I'm like, not only do I not enjoy it as much, like I like being with someone else. That's the number one reason I got on YouTube, is I wanted to, you know, connect with collectors like you. And so, you know, over time, you know, I've connected with more and more people. Now down the road, I mean, I'm not going to say I'll run out of people to meet. Like, there's probably always going to be new people coming on. But, you know, once you got a good circle of friends that from YouTube, and, you know, I think what's going to keep it going for me is, I want my channel to grow too. Now, I've designed my channel in a way that probably it's never going to, like, I've never had a viral video, or I've never, like, because all my videos generally are like this length. We're at 40 minutes now. A 40-minute video, unless it's like a celebrity on it, is not going to go viral. And you know, these type of collaborations where it's just conversations, interviews, and so forth, they don't go viral. You know, if I wanted videos to get thousands of views, number one, I probably couldn't do it anyway. But if I did, I would have to do, you know, a 10-minute video and have some controversial takes or come up with really like Junk Wax Hero, Mike. His channel is doing fantastic. And I'm so happy because he's got such a great channel. He did a live recently where he showed the analytics behind his channel and
you know, good.
Awesome. I loved it. I love seeing that because it goes to show you that if you put out great content, you can do it. You can grow your channel. You can get thousands of views and thousands of subscribers. And he's doing it the right way. He's not like out there calling out people and stuff. He's pulling in great stories that people want to hear. I know he puts in a lot of work. I know myself right now, the situation I'm in with my company, and I got a 2 and a 4-year-old. These are all excuses. I probably couldn't do it anyway, but I don't have the time to put a lot of, like, I need to just pop on these things and go with it. And I don't have a lot of time that I'm willing to devote, but that's going to change, you know, in the future. You know, my life will probably be different. And, you know, maybe I can step a little more out of my company that I have. I'm self-employed. So over time, hopefully I can spend less time on that. And, you know, people that have young kids that, you know, as they get older, it's probably you get a little more time, you know, but things will always evolve and change. But right now I just kind of designed my channel the way it is and I'm happy with the way it is. And it will grow probably steadily over time, but I don't ever expect to see like one of my videos get, you know, 15,000 views like some of these other channels will get out of the blue, you know? But yeah, I think, as a last point, I would love to down the road, this is a pipe dream, but I'm talking maybe 10 years from now or whatever. I would love to get, I don't know if it would be a job, or I would love to work for a company in the hobby. Or maybe, I don't know, I don't really have any good ideas, but I'd like to get a job or start something in the hobby that I don't expect to make like the money that I make at my company now, like, but just something where, you know, I can make some money. It's a sustainable, it can pay some bills or whatever. And, I don't know, because I'm not great at a lot of things, but I am really good at marketing. I've done a lot of that over my career and growing businesses. And I think I have a lot of good ideas. And I know a lot about sports cards and sports. So I feel like I could be an asset to a company down the road. I'm in no position for it right now, but in the future, I would love to work in the industry. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you go back on my channel, when I first started doing this, I started interviewing, you know, I interviewed Jesse Craig from PWCC, Ken Rogers from MySlabs, CEO, you know, some of the businesses in the hobby, because I do have a genuine interest in the business side of the hobby. So that's I guess, one of my like long-term pipe dream goals that I would love to do, because I was always told if you can work in something you love, then you don't really have a job. It's not work. And I like what I do now, but I don't love it. I like it. But I do love sports cards and sports. So if I could somehow find a way into the industry in the role, now I have very specific demands. I need to work from home. I need to be virtual. I don't want to travel that much. So boy, am I an attractive hire for some of these companies. We'll see. But yeah,
I love it. I love it, Adam. I love that. And it is how many people in the world have a job where they wake up and they're like, yeah, this is sick. My wife has one. And she's my full-blown inspiration and motivation in life to do something that I truly love. And I've been working my way on eBay for 20 years trying to figure out how to make money on there. Right out of high school, I went huge. And, you know, I just step off to the side. And there will be a time where that's it. That's what I'm going to be doing. And I love your thoughts on that. And if you go after something and you're truly passionate and you do the work, like Mike does the work, like I will never be a YouTube channel who goes on there and edits my videos. Right. I just can't, you know, like me adding one picture to my video, if it takes me 10 minutes, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I hate doing that. Right. I want to push record and end. I don't even like to I don't even edit like me pushing the button. I'm like Pepino Man. Like, I don't want to do that. It's not a passion of mine. So how high can my channel really grow? I'm at the worst production value possible, but it doesn't matter. I don't want to be not me. And like you, it's good you have that, right? Like you have to work from home. You have to do this. Why do anything else? You know, whatever you call it, like, don't give in, right? Stick to it. So I love that. I love this conversation. And it seems like it's making a round right now, like the YouTube thing. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. And it is fun. You just got to stay in your lane is what I'm learning. Absolutely. Stay in my lane.
Continuously, you know, if you feel like the YouTube channel is driving the bus, make sure you take the wheel, because you're driving the channel. And it should, you know, always ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I feel like I have to make a video? Why, you know, am I doing this because I want to? Yes. I mean, so that's what I'm just talking about myself. That's what I always want to make sure, because it can get away from you. You know, this thing can take a life of its own, and I'm doing okay with it now. I'm having fun. And I like to talk about these things, because it's a way to keep myself in check and put my ideas out there for me to even go back and like remember, you know.
And who else are we going to talk to about this rather than you and the people watching, the people in this little world?
Right.
I mean, it's really fun to see. I know a lot of people like you are, you're good at this, but a lot of people like dive into certain things, analytics and all this, like Mike did on his channel. For him to share that with us, I thought that was so commendable and respectable. And like, to me, for him to share, like, you could see what he made for the whole year and see what he's making in a month. I was like, I want to just salute him, because that's a taboo in a lot of these, in a lot of the card channels. We all pretend we just want to show cards, but I think we want to grow our channels too. And to show that I'm making $30 goes into my bank every month. It blows my mind that you could do videos and make money. So it's just really cool. I'm glad you brought up this conversation.
You would make those videos regardless of if you were making 30 bucks a month. That's the key.
Absolutely.
That's just like, oh, great, I get 30 bucks to do something that I would do anyway, and I love doing it. That's the key. You got to make sure it's always that.
And it changed the way my brain thought too, because I'm like, oh, I can make money posting a video on YouTube. Every step we do in life changes our perspective and changes where we're driving it. And your mind starts spinning, right? So fun stuff to talk about.
Love it, man. All right, guys. Well, that's episode 9. Turn back the clock in the books. Go subscribe if you haven't. Double D Vintage Baseball Card. Yep. Guys, let us know in the comments all this stuff. What do you think? And Dylan, thanks again, man. This was fun.
Yeah, and then we'll tag all the VR. Everybody check out all the guys that were in the VR. Look at the description and you click on their channels and check them out. Awesome guys. So thank you.
All right.